rain today. How many of you guys like stepped into some puddles on the way over? I saw some wet socks. There was like a line of shoes upstairs from you guys from all the water. When I was a little kid, I remember my first day of school. I was going to kindergarten. I was so pumped because I got to ride the bus that day. Like, I was like, man, this is a big deal. Like, mom and dad's not going with me. I get to ride the bus. And my mom even let me go out to the bus stop alone. Like, she didn't walk me out there. And so I thought it was just like this big deal. I had like my new backpack on, you know, your back to school threads that you get, the new clothes, and you get your new shoes. I had some bright white sneakers, I remember, and I'm walking out. And we had this like two-story house, and my mom's up in the second story just kind of watching me through the window, like, what's going to happen? It's my first time walking to the street alone, you know, like meet my friends out there. And we had this long, windy driveway. And of course, I get halfway out there, there's this like nasty puddle. It's just like calling my name halfway out, just like this big, awesome puddle. And I'm in kindergarten, so of course, what do? I'm looking at that thing. And it's like calling me. It's like, Rob, jump in. And I'm looking up at my mom and she's like, I'll kill you. You know, like right at the window. And her face is like pressed. Like she knows what I'm about to do. I thought she was coming through that window at me. There's going to be glass everywhere. And of course, like I look at her. I look at the puddle. I look at her. I jump in the puddle. And it was now like my shoes were black. And the mud got all like splashed up. I looked like I had tie-dye on. So she has to run out and get me and like change me before the bus comes. And like, it's this crazy deal. And it's weird how much mud sticks on you, right? Have you ever played in the mud and tried to get it out of your clothes? It doesn't come out. It stains like real bad if you've ever been out playing in it. And my dogs, how many of you guys know, have you seen my dog before? I got a little yellow lab, but he's like bright white. He's like super white. You can't even look at him. It's so bright. It's like shining. Like, he's so white, but he loves mud. He just loves mud. And so tonight, actually, before Firehouse, he was out going to the bathroom and it had just rained. And there's this big mud puddle in the back. And he thought he was going to dig a hole in the puddle. Like, I don't know why he thought water was diggable, but he was trying to dig the water. And so when he picked his head up, he looked like he had this black, like Batman mask on and his paws are black up to here. It just got everywhere. And he's kind of psycho. So let me tell you this too. Like, so I have these like fences set up for him because he's so psycho that he has a pen of like, it's inside my backyard that is fenced, right? And then inside that, there's a pen of, what do you call that stuff? Chain link, right? So it's metal. And he's in that pen. Then I get a back porch with a door and then a sliding door. So he's out there. I'm thinking he's chill. He's just going to the bathroom. He's doing his thing in his pen, safe and sound. The next thing I know, I'm like in my house doing something. He like hits me from behind, knocks me on the floor. There's mud on me, mud on the walls, mud all over the place. I'm like, how did this dog get out? So I go investigate and I go out. He had like pushed a hole through the chain link fence. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how that happens. He used his weight and he popped a hole through the gate and he got through that. He jumped through the screen, straight through it, just like blew the screen up in my screen door. Then he used his nose like MacGyver and was just like, pa-ching, and he opens my slider and gets in my house. He's like Cujo. You guys know what Cujo is. Look it up. It's like this crazy dog that eats people. That was him. I'm like, how? It's so nuts. But I can always tell where he's been. And how do you know where he's been? Because you can just look at him. Like, he's always covered in the thing he was last in. If there's peanut butter all over his face, it's because he was in the peanut butter. If it's muddy, he was outside doing what he shouldn't be doing. But I can always look at him and tell where he was, because it rubs off all over him. And just like me, when I was jumping in that puddle, my mom immediately could tell that I had just jumped in a puddle. Where we are rubs off on us. The places we go, the things that we do. And that's true about life too. And we're walking through this series, Project Jericho. We're like on our last night of the series in Joshua 6. And as we're talking about you guys going into your schools and you're being a light, right? And we're trying to build you up so that you can go on your campus and tear walls down for the gospel so that the teachers and the students in your school can hear the name of Jesus. Well, there's another side to that. Because as you walk onto that campus, you're walking among people that are broken. You're surrounded by friends and teachers and people that don't believe in the name of Jesus, that don't believe the truth of what God tells us. And you're smack dab in the middle of that. And you're interacting with that. And you're loving and serving those people. And as you're around them, just like mud, man, we rub off on each other too. And I can tell where you've been by the people you've hung out with that you've let rub off on you. And so we need to be really careful as we're walking through Jericho that we listen to God's warning in Joshua 6 about how we handle ourselves as we're trying to do this thing he sent us to do. I'm so pumped because a couple of you guys have already come up to me, and I'm not going to brag on you this week, but maybe I'll get permission and next week I can brag on you. But I've already heard some awesome stories of some of you like going to your school and starting Bible studies or plugging in at your FCAs or serving people. Like, there's some awesome stories of how God has already inspired some of your people sitting around you right now. And you're already doing this. You're already walking onto your campus being like, this is Jericho, man. These walls are coming down, and it's because of the power of God. And I just wanted to publicly say, like, I'm proud of you guys for that. I'm glad that we don't just come here and listen to me tell some stupid stories and then we leave and nothing changes. I'm glad that you come and you hear God's word and the Holy Spirit tells you, hey, I want you to do this. And you go, yes, Lord. And you obey him. And you let this word change your heart. And it plays out in your life. That's awesome. That's what the word of God is meant to do. It's meant to change us. Put us on the right course. And so just hear that from me tonight. I love you guys. And I'm so proud of you for standing up and doing that already and obeying the Lord. So we're going to read our last little chunk tonight. It's Joshua 6. It's just two verses, 17 and 18. And you can check it out with me or look on your phone. But it says this: and the city, talking about Jericho, and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who were with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you've devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. So they've just gone in and they've crushed. The walls have come down, right? Or are going to come down. And so God's like, once these walls come down, you guys, you're going to run up into Jericho and you're going to take it because there's not going to be any defenses. It's going to be wide open for you guys to go. And this is going to be your city, just like I promised. But hold on. Because when you get in Jericho, you're going to be surrounded by some really awesome stuff because they're wealthy and they have really nice things and they have these idols that are really impressive. And you're going to be tempted to grab stuff for yourself. And you're going to want to take their nice things. And you might even want to take some of their really cool idols that they have. And you might be tempted to worship the idol instead of me. And so I want you to be careful as this wall comes down when you run in there. And he says this, look at that first verse. The city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Like, we're burning this stuff. This is garbage. This is broken stuff. This is not stuff I want you to have. Because I don't want it to sway you from your focus being on me onto stuff of the world. I don't want all the glitter and the glamour and the nice things they have in there to distract you from the important thing, and that's me. Now imagine with me, like, the people of Israel, they're so focused on God right now. They're marching around this crazy, powerful city, and all they're doing is blowing trumpets. Remember? They're not even pulling their swords out. Imagine doing that and hearing the mocking from the top of the wall. Hear the people, the soldiers, with like every weapon known to man and the resources that they had, look down at you and be like, seriously, you're coming at us with that? We're going to kill you. I mean, I think I would be nervous. I think I'd have my eyes glued to God, like, I'm going to trust you because I don't know what's going to happen here. And that's where they're at. They're walking around trusting God with every step they take that they're not just going to get wiped out by Jericho. And God's like, that's how I want to keep you. I want your eyes on me. I want you focused on me and trusting me with your heart. I want you to go in there and like rejoice in this triumph that you have and take their stuff and fall in love with the junk. And then forget all about me. I can't tell you how many times in my life God has to do that. Where there's this awesome victory that God has in my own life. And then immediately I get like hit with temptation to like look at the world and look at garbage that won't last and want to trade that in for all that trust I just had in God. It's like I take this awesome step and then Satan comes and wants to just knock me way down here. Like, he targets you because you're doing something great for Jesus. and your heart's trusting Jesus, so Satan's like, let's knock the wind out of him. Let's distract him by showing him this so he'll forget the faith that he just placed in God. Maybe he'll look down here instead and give up on that mission. And so God's like, don't touch the things in Jericho. We're going to burn it. This is all going to be destroyed. And it's for your own good because I don't want you to be tempted to worship this stuff. Now, I like that he used the word devoted because devotion is so important. It's a word that we don't really use a lot today. We don't really understand this word. And if we do, we really don't apply it. We try to just do everything. We're a culture that doesn't want to be told no. We're a culture that wants to be able to do everything we feel like doing and that interests us to the point where we just overwhelm ourselves with activity and things that we're never really devoted to anything. We just try to like juggle the schedule and juggle the things that we're interested in and make it all kind of work, and we do everything kind of halfway. I don't know if you guys notice that in your own life, but I notice I do that. That hits me all the time. This, I never want to say no. But God's calling us to this thing called devotion. And devotion looks like you giving 100% of yourself to something. Now here in this first verse, what he's talking about is burning stuff, right? He's devoting it to destruction. It's hard to pull it back out of the fire once it's burned to ash. Like that's all or nothing. That's 100%. They're devoting all this stuff and saying, it's gone out of my life. And that's what God's calling us to do with our sin. That's what God's calling us to do with the junk in our life that he's like, man, that might not even be bad, Rob. It's just, I just don't want you to look at that and worship that instead of me. I don't want that to take away from your devotion to me because you're devoting part of your heart to that. I just want you to burn it 100%. Leave it to the side. And that's what he called these people to do. Because devotion could go one of two ways. We have either devotion to God, where we give 100% to him and say, my whole life is going to be for you. No matter what thing it is I'm doing, that thing's for you, God. Or we devote ourselves to anything else that's not God. This is how God looks at it. It's me or everything else. And one way means destruction. And one way means salvation. And so as we're looking at this thing, this tale of two ways we can be devoted, we're seeing that God's telling the people of Israel, you need to choose me. You need to burn this stuff. And then he goes, stop, hold on, wait a minute. But, look at the next words, only Rahab. Like she's not going to go down with everybody else. There's a woman here, remember what she did. This woman stood up and protected the spies when they were there. And the men were coming from Jericho looking for these spies, trying to get them and kill them. And she hid them and protected them. Risked her own life, her own family's lives to protect these men. And so God's like, remember Rahab, don't touch her. She's going to be protected in this. What a beautiful picture of the gospel. Because like Rahab is this woman who, it says she's a prostitute. Like she's not by any means this example of holiness, you know? She's not got it all together. She's not the one that goes to church carrying her Bible every Sunday. Like she's got some major issues in her heart and in her life. But all of a sudden God shows up and gives her the opportunity to obey and to trust him. So much so that it was like, I even want you to put your life on the line. And how does she respond? With faith. She does it, fearing for her life. She says, yes, God. She had no reason to. There was nothing in it for her. She was just like, yes, God. And you and I, as we're sitting in our own junk, Rob Jones in his own sin, God comes up and calls me and says, hey, Rob, you don't deserve my gift. You're not worthy of it. You're a mess. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to believe. To place your trust and your faith in me. Like, what a beautiful picture Rahab is of the gospel. Where God calls me out of the world, just like he called her out of Jericho and saved her. God wants to do that for us in our lives. Because we're stuck in sin every day. All around you, every conversation we have, as good as we try to be, sin is just everywhere. We don't like to talk about it. It makes us uncomfortable. We don't like to admit it or see it. But when we really start to look at ourselves and the world around us, it's almost like, man, sin is just so overwhelming. And then there's this ray of hope that shoots in. And God shows up and says, but wait, it's not the end of the story. There's good news. Here's your opportunity to trust me, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out of all that. There's a great ending for you if you trust in Jesus. And Rahab got to be a firsthand experience of that. How awesome for her to be able to be an example of the gospel for us. It says, all that who are with her in her house shall live too. It's like, wait, so the thing that she did also blessed her family? Now that's just showing off, God. That's just showing how kind and good and amazing and over the top God is that he would do that. And he saved, he pulled all of them out, and they weren't destroyed or killed in the battle. God rescued all of them. And here's why. It says, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. Now, don't get confused on this, because as I read it, it was almost a little bit like, man, so what she did is really what made God happy, right? The fact that she came and she hid those guys and her actions, her good deed, is what God made God go, oh, good job, Rahab. Now you're awesome. You made a great change. That's not what God's saying. It's actually kind of weird. Like, it was almost like a lie. She was like, she's hiding these guys. That's not the part that's being shown off in this passage. It's the trust in her heart that in the moment God says, I want you to do this. That she's able to go, even though my life could be taken, I'm going to trust you and do it. It's the trust in her heart. It's the faith that changed her. And God steps in and does the work in her. So don't think that she was like doing this deed that all of a sudden earned her salvation. That's not what happens here at all. It's the faith that she put in Jesus as God said, listen, I'm giving you an opportunity to trust and to follow me. How many opportunities does God give you or has God given you to say yes? I feel like some of you guys, he's probably doing it all the time. Every day, he's just filling your life with these little opportunities and he's asking you to say yes. Every day when you go to school and sit by that one person, every day he tells you, here's your opportunity. Say something to them. So that teacher who's grumpy and you're scared out of your mind of them, but every day that's an opportunity as you're in that class, serve them, love them. And God's like, there's your opportunity. Over and over and over throughout your day, is God giving you opportunities? And are you seeing them? Are you opening your eyes and be like, this is from God. Like, this is something where he's saying, Rob, right here, right now, this is a real life opportunity for you to trust me and to say yes. You see, I always want to wait for the easy part to come, and then I miss the opportunities. It's in the heat of the moment, you know, where I'm scared, that I'm like, well, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. But it's in that heat of the moment where God's like, are you ready? You're like, Rahab, she was scared she was going to die and get killed. That couldn't have been an easy moment to make the decision, but that was the moment where God's like, respond. Say yes. Do this scary thing. Because I've asked you to do it. And it's not because she was an awesome, like, faithful woman. It was because God did a work in her heart and she decided to trust him. He pulls her out of the mess and he blesses her and her family for it. I love the picture of Rahab. Then God turns to the people of Israel and he says, but I got to remind you, look what he says next. But you, wait, let's turn from Rahab and her family for a second. Let's talk about you. But you, he says, keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction. Like, there's a real warning here. Like, there's some nasty stuff that could happen if they go in there and start just like grabbing stuff and bringing it back to their houses. God's like, this could mess you up. And as I think about my own life, as I think about the things that can mess me up that are distractions, I don't think they're distractions most of the time. I think they're cool. And God's like, listen, no, but that's taking your eyes off of me. And I'm like, but God, it's just this. And he's like, but that thing that you're defending so much, Rob, that you won't let go out of your hands, that thing's taking your eyes off of me. And I know it'll be a sacrifice. Rahab was willing to sacrifice her life. But I want your eyes on me and not on that junk that you keep holding so tight to. And so he looks at Israel and says, you keep yourselves from these things that are devoted to destruction. What he's saying is, I want you to devote yourself to me. I want all of your devotion. I want to be your number one goal and your number one priority and your number one love and your number one desire. I want all of it. Listen, when you've been redeemed from a broken world and you're made to be this like creature that will live forever, what else does the world have to offer you? A bunch of junk that's not going to live forever? There's nothing left. There's nothing fancy or shiny that the world could say, hey, this is yours. You should want this. Because you can look back and be like, but I'm going to live forever. But I'm not from that world anymore. I'm a citizen of heaven now. I've been made different. I live above that. Like, that stuff's just garbage. Nothing on this earth should enslave us by like grabbing our desires and making us focus on it. And I'm not saying that like nothing on this world is good for you. We need to eat. We need to have water. There are things like we need to live life here. God's made it that way, and that's good. But it's when those things grab your desire. When you start to focus on it and you're not looking at Jesus anymore and you become enslaved by the things of this world. And you're like, I'm not enslaved by anything, I'm fine. But I want you to really think about it. What are the things that keep you from looking at Jesus? What are the things that are stopping you from waking up in the morning and opening up God's word and reading his Bible every morning, praying to him? Is it you're too tired or you're too busy or get too much homework? Or like, what are the things that are distracting you from looking at Jesus? What are the things that stop you from being plugged into church, from serving with your church and being a part of a small group and even coming here on a regular basis and loving the people around you? Like, what are those things that get in your way and say, no, no, don't be devoted to this. Go do this instead. See, God's asking for your total devotion above everything else. He's not saying it's all bad, but he's saying devoting yourself to it is. He wants your devotion. Paul says, be in the world, but not of it. So really what we're seeing here is we walk through Jericho or you walk through your school campuses or just through the world, you're going to see that you're going to bump up against stuff that doesn't line up with God's will, that doesn't glorify God. And you're going to have to be like, am I going to let this rub off on me? And I'm going to start to think the way these friends over here think that don't like, they don't know Jesus, they don't go to church, they don't love God, but I like them a lot and I want to be a light to them. And that's awesome. You should do that. But where does it stop? You see, because it starts off like, I want to be a light to them, but then, well, I want to get along with them and not offend them with like Jesus stuff, so I won't talk too much about Jesus. And they like to do this, and I don't want to say no, so I better go to that with them. And then one thing happens after another, and all of a sudden, you're just sitting there sinning just as bad as they are. And they've rubbed off on you. And as you're walking through Jericho, you're grabbing every piece of junk that you can find around you, going, oh, that looks good, that looks good, I want that too. And all of a sudden, there's no devotion in your heart anymore for Jesus or the things of God. You're listening to the lies of the world around you and the people that you're walking among. And so you're becoming just like them instead of becoming like Jesus, which is what Christian means, like Christ. I'm not telling you not to love people like that and not to have friends like that. We need to love the world. How else will they hear about Jesus? We need to be careful who we devote our hearts to. And that could be people too. Where you give too much of your heart to your friends, and all of a sudden you become just like those friends who don't love Jesus. Now listen, there's a whole list. You know the list. Of things that are distracting us and calling us: drugs, sex, alcohol, cheating, gossiping, fighting, jealousy, struggle for popularity, friends, pride, shallow relationships, addiction to clothes and style and self-image and what our bodies look like and stuff, just stuff. We like stuff and technology and all of these things. The list goes on and on. Those are the things we're chasing after. Those are the things that are laying around shining as we're walking through Jericho and we're like, should I grab that? But that looks real good. And the voice of the Lord saying, no, 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 this stuff is going to burn. This isn't for you to grab. Remember where your trust should be. Don't take the spoils of war. Don't take the leftover junk lying around in the dirt and the debris in Jericho. Because it's interesting, like as you bend down to pick that thing up out of the dirt, you know, I bet as the walls collapsed, you'd see these really priceless things from Jericho laying in the same dirt as the pieces of wall that crumbled next to them. And so you go to grab that thing, and right next to it, you see that piece of wall, and you're reminded, man, my God did that. My God's so powerful. He broke those walls. My God gave me this city. And I want to challenge you, in those moments where you're tempted to pick up the spoils of war, that instead you'd pick up a piece of that stone from the wall and hold it in your hand, and you think about the things God has done for you, the promises He's made you, that eternity is yours. You get to live forever. Let that go through your heart as you're holding it, and you're thinking like, that's junk down there. This broken stone from the wall represents a powerful God whose promises never get broken. And He's asked me to be devoted to Him 100% and not to give up pieces of my heart to all this junk. So at the end of the day, I'm doing a lot of stuff, but I'm not really living the way He's asked me to live, which is give Him everything. Would you be honest with yourself tonight? Could you honestly say, God, like, I'm giving you everything? Or are there things, hobbies, talents, friends, strongholds of sin in your life that you're like, man, I've given my heart to those things, God. And I'm spread so thin by all this junk that I'm not devoted to you. I give you the scraps of my time that are left over after I've done all this stuff to feel good and serve myself. After I've made myself look good and I've had my fun, then God, I'm giving you the scraps of my time in my life and the little piece of my heart that's left for you. We live in a world that has forgotten what devotion means. And God's asking us to be devoted, fully devoted to Him. He ends it with this. He gives us a warning. He says, lest, it's an old-fashioned word to mean like, this is what's going to happen. When you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. Here's his warning. If you take that stuff, see how Jericho's destroyed? Israel's going to end up the same way. What do you think is going to happen to you if you do the same thing they were doing? If you walk down the same road, you're going to get to the same finish line as them. And that's our warning. If you walk around grabbing the things of the world and forgetting Jesus in the process, there's just destruction waiting for you. Because devotion has two roads, either God, which brings salvation, or anything else which ends up in destruction and a waste of your life. Who will you devote yourself to? Project Jericho isn't just about getting you to go talk to people on your campus. It's about you saying, God, you have my whole heart and life. That's what the building up of students part means in that. We want to build you up. And the best way to do that is by letting God take your heart. And you say, Lord, I want you more than anything else. And then you're ready to go on your campus. Then you're ready to walk around groups of people that might not like Christianity or the thing that you're talking about or the places you go, like church. But because you're devoted to Jesus, they're going to see that in you. And you're built up so that you can go tear those walls down in your schools. Will you bow your heads with me? Like I said at the beginning, like I'm so proud of some of you guys. There's a bunch of you that are already stepping up on your campuses. And you're doing some awesome stuff. Maybe there's some more people tonight that he's touching your heart and you're like, man, I want to be that too. I want to be the student that's built up to go on my campus and tear the walls down for Jesus. I want to do that. I want to take a scary step because God's worth it and He won't let me down. And you need some prayer because I understand that's a big step. It's never easy to take a step like that. You need to know that people are loving you and praying for you. That's exactly what I want to do tonight. So if that's you, will you just raise your hand and say, Rob, yes, I need the prayer. I want to be that on my campus. Pray for me tonight. Yeah, I see your hands back there. Anybody else? Yeah, I see your hands over there. Man, I'm so proud of you guys. Have the courage to say yes to Jesus. Anybody else? Like, pray for me, Rob, tonight. I want to have the boldness to do what God's calling me to do tonight. That's awesome. Yeah, I see your hand, bro. Let me pray for you right now. Father, you saw the hands go up. It's a step of faith, just raising a hand to put action to what's in our hearts. Our hand goes up and it says, Lord, I moved to show you that I'm serious. I'm not going to just say it in the back of my head. I'm going to make this public so my youth pastor knows that I'm serious about this and he's going to be praying for me. So God, will you bless that faith that they just had? God, you see the other hearts of people who want to say yes and they're just not ready to raise their hand. Will you spur them on to say, yes, Lord, I will obey. I'll be devoted to you alone. God, we want to be a youth group that loves you more than anything else, that comes to this place because we just want to be together and to talk to you, Jesus, and to hear from you. God, we want to be in love with you. Will you bless them as they go on their school campuses, as they interact with their family and their friends? Cause that devotion that you're building in their heart to spill out, that the walls would come crashing down. The junk we're holding on to, God, will you pry our fingers open? Show us the things we need to give up so we can be all about you. And God, I'm praying that for me. I need that too. Pry that junk out of our hands. Jesus, make our hearts all about you. If there are those here tonight that don't know you, Father, I pray that they would talk to one of the leaders or to me after, that they could hear who you are, they could know how to be saved and forgiven. God, will you be blessed and glorified by us as we worship right now? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.